Hello and welcome to WTM Insights, the official podcast of the World Travel Market London, the leading event for travel professionals. I'm your host, travel journalist Lisa Francesca Nand, bringing you the latest global trends, expert speakers and analysis within the travel and tourism industry. And here are the travel news headlines. TripAdvisor becomes the latest travel company to stop selling SeaWorld tickets. The booking platform have said it will no longer feature or generate revenue from any attraction that continues to contribute to the captivity of future generations of sea life. This year, Virgin Holidays and British Airways Holidays also ceased their relationship with SeaWorld as part of new policies on animal welfare. Saudi Arabia is opening to tourists. They have recently launched a new visa regime for 49 countries and will relax its strict dress codes for female visitors. Tourism Minister Ahmad Al-Khatib described it as an historic moment for the country. And the collapse of Thomas Cook left thousands of holidaymakers stranded. It's been a sad time in the travel industry after the downfall of British travel giant Thomas Cook. Thousands of people were left stranded after flights were cancelled with immediate effect. After around 9,000 UK staff were left jobless, Thomas Cook employees protested at Parliament, demanding an investigation into where the money from the business has gone. And that's a roundup of the latest travel news headlines. On today's episode, we will be talking about how big brands can drive tourism to different destinations and the impact of music tourism on the travel industry. Our guest speaker today is an expert in their field and perfectly placed to answer our questions. Russell Samuel is Vice President of Creative and Integrated Marketing at Viacom International Media Networks, home to a leading portfolio of global media brands such as MTV and Nickelodeon. And we're very excited to have him here today. Russell, thank you very much for coming into the podcast today.
Thank you, Lisa. Pleasure to be here.
So travel is an important strand in MTV's branding strategy, with their Isle of MTV festival promoting tourism through Malta and development of the new vertical MTV travel. So Russ, what drew MTV into the travel and tourism arena?
Well, I think our starting point, as always, is our audience. As a media owner, we're always on, we're engaging with them all day, every day. And so it's imperative that we understand their attitudes, their motivations, their behaviours. And so, we do a lot of research annually. And, you know, what that tells us is that travel is a huge, huge passion point for our MTV audience. Looking at the industry, Deloitte did a global millennial survey this year, and 60% of millennials and Gen Z prioritise travel over high salary jobs and wealth and home ownership. And that's reflected in our own research, where we see it as it's the second priority spend for our audience after paying bills and those necessary outgoings. We also see that our audience, the MTV audience, have a higher propensity to talk about and be brand ambassadors for travel and the destinations they've been. And we see that they're increasingly travelling around music. So as a global music and lifestyle brand in over 180 countries, travel really is a natural extension for us and a space that our audience expect us to be. I think the other factor is we have a global live music calendar, a lot of which we do in partnership with travel and tourism partners and authorities. And I think for destination brands, they have a lot of the same objectives and challenges as other brands in other sectors, you know, namely, how do you engage and get the attention of an audience that's increasingly time poor, increasingly in control? I think the key for destination brands, you know, wanting to drive again those brand metrics of awareness and perception, familiarity and consideration and ultimately purchase, I think that the key for destination brands that maybe differs for brands in other sectors is that holidaying and travel is a shared purchase decision. You know, our research shows that people go on holiday with their family, with their friends, with their partners. So they're looking for shared experiences when they are on holiday. And that's where we find that events are a hugely powerful marketing asset for destination marketing organizations that give them a point of difference. One of the reasons why we've become so heavily involved in the sector.
I think as a travel professional, and so many people in the travel industry will be really pleased to hear that's the second thing that they want to spend their money on is travel after bills and essential. I think that's absolutely wonderful. And I know that people are, you know, very focused on experiences these days, which is, you know, great news for those of us who are working in the industry and also who love to do those things ourselves. So do you think that Gen Z is your main target audience?
Absolutely. MTV, we talk about our core demo is sort of 16 to 34. So that's sort of millennials and into Gen Z. I think what's interesting for us is, you know, within the brand, the umbrella brand, we have sub brands that, you know, appeal to the different demos within that. So, and we can tailor the appeal to our different demographics by music franchise, by artist lineup. For example, the MTV Unplugged we did with Liam Gallagher recently in the UK will differ slightly audience-wise to the sort of the pop, summer pop lineup that we curate for Isle of MTV. And similarly across our platforms and some of the social platforms, all of which we have a huge audience engagement on. Our Snapchat Discover audience and our Instagram profile audience will be slightly younger than our audience on Facebook. So we are a youth and young adult brand that can span and tailor our communication accordingly.
It's a chicken and egg thing, but do you think you're engaging with people through music and then feeding through to travel, or is travel a standalone segment, as it were?
Not to sound like I'm sitting on the fence, I think it's a bit of both. I think the live music event model certainly is engaging people through music first and feeding into travel. And I think if we look at Isle of MTV, as a case study there, over a decade ago, the original objective for the Malta Tourism Authority was how do they engage our audience, this younger tourist demographic, how do they break into the consideration set for that audience? The first priority there was to make Malta relevant. We did that by creating Europe's largest free music festival and hosting it in Malta in Isle of MTV. And over the years, we've curated that lineup that has always felt highly topical and relevant for our audience, from Black Eyed Peas and Lady Gaga and Snoop, a few years ago, to the more recently, you know, Rita Ora and Bebe Rexha and Martin Garrix and David Guetta. And I think when our audience are seeing, their favourite music brand is MTV and some, you know, their favourite artists performing and posting about Malta, it makes it part of their universe. It makes it naturally part of the conversation they're going to be having with their friends, with across their social network. And I think once we're there and it's authentically part of the conversation, that's when we're then able to extend that conversation. What's really exciting for us now is that we get as much traction and engagement with the travel and destination content that we produce around Malta, about the food and about the other locations, as we do around the content we produced for the event. So I think that very much is using music and music artists to make destination relevant and then extend the story. On the other side, we have launched MTV Travel very excitingly this year as a standalone editorial vertical that's social first, so living across our social and digital platforms. And I think, you know, the reason being that, as we've said, travel is a huge passion point for our audience. We've seen real success and growth in a very short time. We're now one of the top publishers in the UK on Facebook for travel video content. But again, I think what's interesting is it's both sides of the relationship. A lot of the content that does very well has a music angle to it. We had a recent video piece around raves in thermal spas in Budapest. So I think it's travel content, but with the unique lens of MTV that our audience trust and our audience, you know, it resonates with our audience. So it's both pieces working together.
What was the thinking behind launching MTV Travel? I find that quite fascinating.
I think we are a lifestyle brand. Obviously, music's core to our DNA, but you know, we as MTV has always touched on all those different aspects of youth and young adult lifestyle, whether that's fashion, streetwear. And as we said, travel is an important part of our audience's lives. And we are a global brand, so very naturally we are producing content around the world. And you know, we just felt that it's a relevant editorial angle, and also a vertical that we can work with travel and tourism partners and help them, you know, better engage this younger demographic that are in different places and that we've got a relationship with.
It certainly seems to be working. The Isle of MTV Festival, for example, has been running for 12 years now. How have you seen it grow in that time?
Absolutely. I think the two key areas of growth for Isle of MTV, when we take a sort of step back and look at it over 10 years, which is a fantastic period of time, I think is firstly the product, and then secondly the distribution of that product. And in product, I mean, we've evolved from a single one-day festival to a multi-event music week, and we've done that to better strategically align with the average duration stay of the visiting tourist. We know they're there for a week, and so we wanted to build out that product offering so that it felt better fitted for their needs. And what that's allowed us to do is showcase more of the island. So we have the Isle of MTV main festival, but then we have lots of smaller ancillary events. We've been able to introduce other MTV sub-brands. So we've introduced Club MTV for one of the nights. We've reimagined The Grind, which was an iconic dance show in the 90s, TV show, as a Facebook Live and as a pool party. So I think that's been a really exciting growth and very successful for the property. As I said, allowed us to continue to showcase and storytell around Malta across the whole island. And that leads us to the second point about distribution. Over a decade ago, Isle of MTV was an event and a TV highlight show. Today, in conjunction with how the audience are consuming their media, it's a live multi-platform event franchise. We go live to air across our European TV network, but also live across all of our social platforms, and we're formatting and our content for each platform, whether that's Snapchat Discover, our Instagram and Facebook profiles, our own and operated digital sites, Twitter, our YouTube channel. And I think the key objective there for us is ensuring that we can make everyone feel as immediately, a sense of being there, even if they're not there this year, but they could be potential attendees next.
And it sounds like you've really embraced the technology changes that we've seen in the last 10 to 12 years, and changes in social media and the way people use social online has developed incredibly in that time. And it sounds like you're sort of using all of those components. Have there been any issues from a more practical point of view on the ground? I mean, Malta is only so big. Have there been any challenges with, say, infrastructure and that sort of thing?
I think, putting on a production of the scale of Isle of MTV requires a huge amount of planning, absolutely. And we work very closely with the Ministry of Tourism and the Malta Tourism Authority, and it's important to have a great partnership in that area, because infrastructure-wise, you need the support. We need the coordination across all of those other stakeholders, from Transport Malta in terms of how we're going to plan road closures and the flow of people into the site, to the civil protection and the police from crowd management and safety, through to clean up and recycling. So absolutely, it's important. But I think the influx of people, I mean, ultimately that's the objective. And I think again, that's why we work very closely with the Malta Tourism Authority, and they work with their regional offices, with their partners, a lot of cross promotion with their airline partners and language schools to really optimise that opportunity.
How many people attend usually every
year? So we have about 30,000 people annually each year.
A lot of extra people coming, which is great for local businesses.
Absolutely.
Do you try and involve local bands and local acts and sort of bring that sort of Maltese flavour into the festival?
Absolutely. Each year we always have at least one local act on the lineup, and that's actually this year I think we had as many as four or five. And you know, that's an important part of it. We're also able to, you know, react quite dynamically each year. So a couple of years ago, Malta had a contestant in Italy's version of The X Factor, and she did very well. She got to the semi-finals, and that was in sort of the months preceding the event. So we were able to sort of spot that, recognise that, and actually give her a place on the lineup, which became a bit of a homecoming, and was a really lovely story, PR story locally, a great opportunity, you know, for her, Emma Musker, and she performed for the first time in front of 30,000 people. So, yes, we work very closely again to ensure that, of course, we're bringing in the right international talent, but we're complementing that with the exciting local talent, giving them an experience to perform on a stage that, you know, in front of that volume of crowd that they wouldn't have done before. So again, it's about, you know, developing for those guys.
As a massive fan of both music and travel and going to festivals and things, I think it sounds great for the area, and you know, to be in Malta that time must be really exciting. From a travel and tourism point of view, have you got any evidence that the festival, that influx of people also might increase traffic to other attractions in travel?
Yes, so well, we know that the visiting tourists' average duration stay is about a week, and as we touched on, you know, we developed Isle of MTV Music Week specifically as a tactic to drive discovery across the island. I think also interestingly, we launched a new partnership with the Malta Tourism Authority this year, off the back of the success that Isle of MTV has delivered targeting that youth and young adult segment. The Malta Tourism Authority and Ministry of Tourism spoke to us about an objective that they had of trying to encourage families to come to Malta in the off-peak, the shoulder months, and to reassure parents that if you were coming during the Easter holidays, that there's a lot to do for as a family-friendly destination. It's lovely weather. It might not be warm enough for the kids to swim in the sea, but there's still a lot to do. And so we developed Nickelodeon Treasure Hunt Malta with the discovery of the island very much at its core. And we did that by taking our different Nickelodeon IP and characters and thematically aligning them with some of the family-friendly attractions across the island. So we had SpongeBob SquarePants at the National Aquarium, naturally. We had the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at the food market because they love pizza. We had Nella the Knight, who is a princess knight, at one of the 15th century forts. And we had the Paw Patrol pups at the Science Museum. And around that, we then built this treasure hunt narrative where we built activity packs for kids, and they were able to go to each experience, and as well as meet their favourite character and take part in the experience, they could collect a stamp at each experience. And then at the end of the holiday, depending on how many stamps they had, they would have be able to redeem a prize. We also built out an AR map that was accessible through your mobile web browser that allowed families to collect virtual stamps, but also had all these additional photo challenges across the island. So SpongeBob might challenge you to go to Golden Sands Beach, find your favourite shell and take a picture of it, at which point you could download a SpongeBob photo frame and build a digital scrapbook of your holiday. So I think that was a really interesting concept and franchise for us to develop and roll out, that really is you know, tailored for that local destination and shaped to really, as I said, drive discovery across the region.
I know my kids would absolutely love that. It sounds like a really good idea. Do you think that generally Isle of MTV and these initiatives surrounding it have managed to boost Malta's profile in the tourism market? And obviously the knock-on effect is supporting its economy. You know, you've got a big cash injection and an increase in local job opportunities, hopefully.
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, we have seen significant shifts in those key brand metrics over the years, over the duration of the partnership. So our own tracking has shown that, you know, desire to find out more about Malta amongst our viewers is double that of non-viewers. Intention to holiday in Malta is three times higher for our viewers versus non-viewers. And actually, claimed visitation to Malta for MTV viewers has increased by 70% over the last 5 years. I think importantly, our own tracking has been validated by the Ministry of Tourism's own tourism statistics, and Malta's under 24 tourist segment has increased by 120%, now accounts for 25% of their annual tourists. So that's hugely successful from a tourism boost perspective. I think the other important legacy of the event, as well as the tourism boost, is that when we started the event over a decade ago, we had to bring everything to the island, you know, all the kit, all the crew. There just wasn't the kit, there wasn't the experience in Malta, naturally, because there wasn't a market for that scale of event. What we're really proud of is that today there is not one aspect of the event that isn't partially or fully sourced locally, and that has really delivered a real, as I said, legacy as well as the tourism boost to the local market, in that by becoming an annual fixture, that we've been able to introduce different suppliers, they've been able to build their experience, they've also been able to then justify investment in local kit and infrastructure, which then becomes a virtuous circle because the kit is there and then additional events become more economically viable. Yes, we've, but you know, it's definitely delivered both the tourism boost and the benefit for the local market.
Obviously, it's going to impact local communities, and you know there are going to be some concerns. Obviously, we've been talking about all the positive sides of it, but there are probably going to be some concerns from the local communities, especially those in close proximity to the festival site. How do you manage that?
Yes, absolutely. It's an important point. And again, I think, you know, much like the logistical and operational considerations, I think it's about communication, and it's about working with the stakeholders from the beginning and making people feel part of the process and that this is not something that is happening to them. So we work very closely again with the Malta Tourism Authorities, help with the local council, with the local mayor. We're very considerate of those local needs. We've had in the past, we've had to shape our rehearsal schedules around exam schedules in that local area, which is a challenge, but obviously it's an important consideration. We need to ensure that people that are working in offices locally have access, even though we're at some point we're closing off the site, but you know, making exceptions. And for the local residents, I think to feel part of the event, feel welcome. And I think that commitment from MTV and the Malta Tourism Authority that, you know, this site will be cleaned up and, you know, we come in, but we go out and we respect what is people's local area. I think it's about communication. It's about, you know, respect and then people will work with you, and there are then benefits, you know, for local businesses, for local bars, for restaurants, for taxis. It's a huge boost. So I think if you conduct yourself in the right way, people are willing to be good partners.
We talked a little bit about music tourism as a whole and, you know, in particular the rise of it over the last sort of 15 or 20 years. What was your strategy destination-wise in selecting Malta as the destination for Isle of MTV? You know, what made you decide to work with Malta specifically?
Live music is obviously core to MTV as a brand. I think the point that's different for us versus other partners in the industry, other sort of more traditional promoters, is as a publisher, as a media owner, as well as the live music component, the storytelling is very important for us. So for us, that's looking for ingredients such as really unique and unusual locations, really standout and newsworthy productions, and of course, very topical artists. You know, ultimately, the aim is to create experiences, but ultimately content that our audience want to engage with and stand out. And I think those ingredients are very important to us. So from the perspective of Malta, you know, that really worked for us in a number of ways. The location, Il Fosso Square in Valletta, really is breathtaking. It dates back to the 17th century, and it is not a bog standard stadium, you know, experience. Obviously, we've got great partners in the Malta Tourism Authority. Again, partners that are willing to support us infrastructure wise, so that we can put on these standout productions, which do take a lot of commitment from everyone. And ultimately, Malta, it was a destination ripe for discovery, for our audience and also for the artists. And I think the artists is an interesting point, because we've had a lot of big stars come in over the years. You know, some, because of their schedules, have to come in and out very quickly just for the event. But others, you know, have been able to stay and really embrace their time in Malta. You know, we've had Enrique Iglesias going tuna fishing. We've had Steve Aoki going cliff jumping. We've had a lot of artists, BB Rex this year, out on, you know, going on a boat tour around the coast. And I think, you know, as I said, it's a destination that's ripe for discovery. And when the artists have really been able to go and enjoy those experiences and post about them, that takes us back to that point of authentically engaging our audience through the people they look up to. And that becomes hugely valuable for Malta.
You talked a little bit about the setting, and it does indeed sound really stunning. How did you look at tailoring the event to its location?
I think there's sort of two aspects to that probably. There's the sort of operational logistics side, which is looking at a site and ensuring that from a crowd management safety perspective, you know, that your site layout is somewhat determined. I think then the second aspect is creatively, and in that, again, that is about embracing where we are. There is a beautiful church at one end of the square, so you know, we work hard to get permission to light that up and make that a real feature of the production, that again, of course, we're capturing, you know, both for TV and across digital and social, how we film it and using, you know, aerial perspectives, so that really you get this amazing sense of this square being full of tens of thousands of people. You know, and then there's also, you know, shooting ancillary content around the island that we can feed in as interstitials into our content. So I think it's, you know, that's very much front of mind. I mean, another example with the Nickelodeon treasure hunt, Malta, you know, one aspect of this year's event was very, very local. We put on a parade to close the treasure hunt, and this was inspired by, there's a very strong carnival custom in Malta at the end of February, beginning of March every year, where they build these amazing floats and have a huge carnival through Valletta Old Town, and so we worked with the local artisans that build these floats, and they're all volunteers. It's an amazing sort of community, to build a Nickelodeon float. So it's really bringing together of the Nickelodeon brand and IP with the local culture, and put on this amazing parade that had thousands of families out there. And that's something we did specifically for Malta, and may not be the right thing to do for another destination, but that's something we're always very conscious of, is really trying to embrace the destination.
I'm curious as to how many, I don't know if you know percentage or have you know, a more accurate idea of this, but how many attendees are locals and how many people fly in for it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've obviously got our ticket data, and it's about 50-50. So we have about 50% are non-Maltese. And you know, and what's really positive is the driving regions for those are UK, Spain, Italy, and Germany, which is where, you know, the sort of the priority targeted marketing campaign sits. So that aligns nicely. And I think with the 50% of Maltese attendees, that also is very important for us and for the local market, because Malta, because of its size, is not a traditional touring market for artists. So for the local fans, it's often you know, the one chance they will get to see some of these global artists perform live locally.
And feedback from the tourism board, has it indicated that they're generally pleased with the whole affair?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think we would be in our, you know, 12th, 13th year if they weren't. So it's it's definitely, you know, worked very well for them, as we said, from a tourism perspective and profile perspective, you know, from a local infrastructure and market and economy perspective. So it's something everyone's very happy with.
Well, I think it's great that 50% of the year's attendees were Maltese and 50 non-Maltese. I think that's exactly the objective, isn't it? It's getting locals involved and also attracting people from elsewhere. Well, at WTM, we're celebrating our 40th anniversary, and we wanted to ask how you felt the impact of music festivals has been felt in the tourism sector over the last 40 years, if you can sum that up.
Well, I mean, as we said, I think, you know, we see that our audience are travelling around music, and music festivals have really created this huge opportunity for the sector. I think there's a really next interesting sort of objective or challenge for tourism authorities and boards is how do we extend the stay? You know, you've got this influx of people coming in for a festival. How do you extend their stay? How do you get them to explore the wider region? That's something we're looking at ourselves of, you know, through ancillary formats, whether that's music weeks, whether that's workshops, whether that's through MTV Travel, building curated profiles. But we think that that's a really interesting opportunity to work with partners, as well as putting on, you know, large scale events that can bring the influx. You know, how do you support existing events that extend those stays?
It is incredible, really, because 40 years ago, we didn't have a music festival travel experience. You know, people were bunking over fences to go into free festivals, and it's changed. It's become a massive business worldwide and, you know, and something that people of all generations embrace. Do you see that growing?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, obviously sort of the low cost airlines and the connectivity, you know, has hugely helped there. We are in a global media era where, you know, people are much more aware of opportunities in other markets and looking for those experiences, as we've said, that, you know, they feel that, you know, they want to experience for themselves, that gives them content that fuels their social, you know, profiles. So I think that absolutely the opportunity will continue to grow, and I think it's about how you optimize that. It's obviously an increasingly saturated, you know, marketplace as well, so I think it will also be about, you know, the quality of the product and your product will need to stand out, but it's definitely something that is going to continue to grow.
With that need to stand out, I mean, how do you make sure that Isle of MTV is noticed in this, you know, now sort of quite crowded market?
Well, we've obviously got our ready-made distribution network and a brand that we're able to leverage. So for ourselves, I think it's a combination of three components. It's leveraging the reach and engagement we've got across our own platforms. We work very closely with the artists, the labels and their management, so that we really try and leverage the artists' network reach as well that perform at our events. And then we have a very targeted press strategy that can live beyond our own platforms, that works both pre-event, so working to get into those listings, working with our talent to provide interviews for press partners, that all helps drive awareness and buzz, through to then the post-event coverage. We work a lot with our influencer network and obviously with sort of our key press partners. So we drive a huge amount of post-event press coverage. So and that's worked hugely successfully for us. You know, and our press coverage has increased 30% year on year over the last few years. So it's complementing the Viacom platforms with those other beyond Viacom platforms.
As it has been so successful and there is such a growth in music tourism, do you have any plans to expand to other events?
Absolutely. I think live events is a growing ancillary business for us as Viacom, across all of our brands, from MTV to Nickelodeon, even Comedy Central. You know, we have, as I said, historically, we have worked well with tourism partners, as well as the Malta Tourism Authority and Isle of MTV. Last year, we worked with Singapore Tourism, creating a new esports and music event hybrid that was very successful for us in Asia. This year, we've done a number of unplugs with Visit Victoria in Melbourne to really showcase Melbourne's cultural and music heritage. We've got Nickelodeon Slime Fest in Blackpool coming up later this month, the October half term in the UK. That's an annual fixture there that really drives visitation across, you know, across the nation. So I think looking to continue to grow our event, global event calendar, you know, our kids and family and our live music formats with tourism partners is definitely a key objective of ours.
There's a crossover, but where do you see MTV's placement in the travel industry over the next few years?
So I think we will want to grow our live music calendar and continue to build on the success we've had around the world with different tourism partners. And I think also, as well as our live music formats and business, we've also obviously got our storytelling and content expertise. And I think it's, again, the opportunity to work with travel and tourism partners to help them better connect with our younger audience demographics, whether that's through MTV Travel, whether that's through Adventures on Nickelodeon, which is an edutainment format that we have on Nickelodeon that shows kids the behind the scenes of different aspects of events around the world, from animal conservation to live event production to film production. I think the key for us is we know travel is a key passion point for our audience. We know we've got the brands and the IP that our audience care about. And I think it's finding the intersection of the two that can work for our audience, give them those experiences and content that they're looking for, but also work for our travel and tourism partners in authentically helping them tell their stories.
Brilliant. I look forward to following your progress and seeing what you get up to.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me here today.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. And if you enjoyed this, then you'll love our music tourism session at the WTM on Wednesday, the 6th of November, on our global stage at WTM. So hopefully see you then. Thank you for listening to our latest episode of WTM Insights. We'll be releasing exciting content throughout the year, so please subscribe to ensure you don't miss out. See you next time.